Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Lord, we give you praise. We extol your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. In Jesus' beautiful name we worship. Let's be seated. So I said something about revelation, the full circle, right? Revelation, conviction, embodiment, and what? Influence. So I said you hear the truth and your heart burns. That's what? Revelation. Conviction. You fan the flame through prayer and what? Obedience. I think there's a scripture where Paul tells Timothy to fan the gift of God to flame. Can you remember that scripture? Huh? First Timothy what? Who can help us? First Timothy what? So let's read together. First Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:6. It says we should farm. All right, this is in the message. It says keep that ablaze. It said the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. When I see this scripture, I used to laugh sometimes because we have laid hands on it. In fact, we have laid lives, not only hand. Some people, you know why sometimes we look at people and we get offended. We are wondering, is it not this person that has been in this church for a while? Why is he thinking like this? Why isn't he successful in this said area and that area? Because we feel like hands has been laid upon your head. There's a certain way you should be thinking. Or don't you know when hands are laid upon you, you receive something? Same spirit. So imagine that I know myself and I lay hands upon you and I see you acting up in a certain way. So like Paul, he told Timothy, this is not me. Paul speaking to himself when he saw Timothy at a certain level of his life. He said, fan the gift of God to flames, because I know what was upon you, what came inside of you when I laid hands upon you. But the laying of the hands is not the emphasis. What you have received now, he's saying what? Fan it to flames. And then KJVD. The message translation says, keep that ablaze. Keep that ablaze. You know, today's theme is what? Set ablaze. Keep that ablaze. You know, it's almost casual the way we receive things from God. So we think it's not in us. In fact, some people, they think if they don't fall to the ground, they've not received. You know, certain times people fall, certain people don't fall. There are some that, you know, sometimes when we lay hands on people, we are more astonished than the people. There are certain people you lay hands on. And of course, as a man of God, don't have expectation, or as a Christian, don't have an expectation that people should fall when you lay hands on them. Just have a mindset that they should receive. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you can actually receive without falling, and you can fall and still receive at the same time. So it's just a demonstration of the influence due to your receiving. What is happening at that time by the Spirit. Some people can demonstrate it in certain ways and probably fall to the ground. And some may not necessarily fall. That doesn't mean they did not receive it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Especially when you are baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. Many people think it's when people fall that they've received the Holy Ghost. It's not true. Many years ago on campus, we didn't used to have a fellowship. We didn't used to have a church. I mean, we used to have a fellowship. So there was this certain church I used to visit once in a while. And one of those days, after the midweek service, we're going and they asked for me to come. So when I came back, I asked what was the problem. They said they were trying to fill up a guy with the Holy Ghost and he was not receiving. And I said, he's not receiving. He said, yes. I said, what did you say? He said, I prayed for him and I told him at the number of so and so, he will be filled with the Holy Ghost. But he didn't fall. So I smiled. I said, you told him he will receive. You are not expecting him to fall. So I said they should leave him. There were like three of them. I said, leave the young man. They left him. I said, young man, raise your hands. Have you received the Holy Spirit? He said, yes, I believe. I said, you have received him. I convinced him that he has received the Holy Spirit. So I said, now that you have received the Holy Spirit, be more full of the Spirit. Feel the presence of the Holy Ghost more. In the name of Jesus. So he lifted up his hands and closed his eyes. I said, at the count of three, when I said one and I said two, he jumped. They had to rush and had catch him because he was feeling the intense presence of the Holy Ghost. But you see, at that point, they felt like the receiving should mean he should what? Fall to the ground. No. Another time I was praying for a lady. Years ago also, a friend of mine was preaching, so he asked me to help him fill up some people with the Holy Ghost. We had not started Sunday service. And there was this lady, her name is Blessing. Very wonderful lady. She can disturb me on campus. She did microbiology. And she saw me there. She was very excited. You know, they say the person you always disturb should come and lay hands. So she was already smiling when I was coming close to them. But when I prayed for everybody and they received, she did not receive according to her. She just closed her eye tight. There was nothing I did not pray. Receive. Receive. Now! I shouted now till I got tired. And I said, hey. She did not even know that I was trying to speak to her. I said, Blessing, see, I'm talking to you. What is the problem? She said, sir. I said, what is the problem? Everybody have received. You are the only one here. You want to disgrace the ministry of the man of God? What is your problem? She said, sir, I don't believe in these things. I said, then why did you stand? She stood and she doesn't believe in praying in tongues. But she stood in the front. She even closed her eyes. I said, then you are wasting our time. If you don't believe, you will not receive. So I said, go back to your seat. She now said, no, I want to receive. I said, for something you don't believe. I said, okay, now, what's your reason? She said, why would everybody just be doing, there's no meaning to it. I said, okay, calm down. As I explained Romans 8:26, 27, 28, 1 Corinthians, I think 14, as I explained it, I said, our hearts are supposed to be unfruitful, but in the Spirit we are uttering mysteries. And as the Lord will want us per time, we probably may understand what we are saying at times, but it comes by the will of God. And when I explained, she was convinced. She said, okay, makes more sense now. I said, all right. Are you ready to receive? She said, yes. I tell you, as I say, lift your hands now. Before she finished lifting the hands, I said, take! She was already on the ground. But you see, she already was convinced that what we're doing was rubbish. That's why she did not receive. But for anybody that believed already what? Received. Doesn't mean that they have to fall to the ground. Even though most people always are slain by the power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't happen for some people. And it's not because they are sinners. And some people say, no wonder I don't used to fall. Some of you, it's because you have strong heart. When you come to the front, like those days, I told my friend, let's go and show these people that what they are doing here is fake. I was not born again. They went there, people were falling. And me and him went, they laid hands on me, nothing happened. I moved. They laid hands on him, nothing happened. We sat on the seat, we just shake our hands. So we said, now everything here has come. Because my heart was not open. The Bible says today when you hear the word of the Lord, meaning you can harden your heart and not receive from the Lord. That was my case that time. But when I was convinced, before they laid hands on me, I was just standing close to my spiritual father. I didn't even know he was my spiritual father at that time. They were praying, and I told you my born-again experience, you know. And I entered and started joining them to pray. Just pray in English. And before you know, everywhere was intense. Everywhere was intense with the presence of God. Nobody was opening their eyes. Some people were under the table praying. And there was so much heat, but they were enjoying the heat. They were just praying. I said, what kind of passion is this? So I joined them. I started praying and praying. In the middle of my prayer, over 30 minutes, I started doing, blah, 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 blah. Then I'll force myself out. Father, I thank you. I repent today. I repent today. I will not hear myself doing ragadagadagada. I will not force myself. The devil asks me a question. What do you think you are saying? You are saying rubbish. Immediately my spiritual father now tapped me. I say, continue. It is the only language that Satan does not understand. I'm not, how did he know that I just heard something in my mind? And for me, I thought it was my mind or being intelligent. This thing I'm saying, do I ever understand it? You think you're just being intelligent? That's Satan speaking. Hallelujah to Jesus. So here is Paul talking to his son Timothy. He said, I've laid hands on you several times. And what I'm seeing is not the result and effect of what I've done upon, what the Holy Spirit has done upon your life and in your life. Through me, your pastor, go back and fan to flames what has happened on your inside. Hallelujah to Jesus. Go back. Glory to God forevermore. And so, Timothy had to go back and pray. Of course, he became more effective. Sometimes you see Paul say things like, I long to see you so that I might what? Impart in you some certain spiritual gift. Possibilities. I want you to understand, firstly, that when hands are laid upon you, it's not just show-off in church. I don't know if other people do show-off, but it's not show-off. It is what? Transfer of possibilities. God, not necessarily, you know, I always tell pastors, don't always put it, make it look like it is something from you alone that is entering those people. Sometimes when you lay hands on people, for instance now, people receive the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit via the laying of hands. Now that doesn't come from you, it comes from God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So you can lay hands on people and they receive something directly from God that is needed for their destiny. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. But you cannot alter that process of laying hands, of hands being laid upon you. Even as pastors who think, at the earliest stage of ministry, we probably felt like, we obviously felt like we were so revelatory in nature. We have so much revelation. And sometimes you may be tempted to be proud. Paul even said that. He said because of the abundance of light that was given to me, the devil put a yoke upon my flesh so that I am not exalted beyond measure. He said something like that. So somehow Paul knew that revelation was making him proud at a certain time of his life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It can happen. Alright? And you may be thinking you don't need certain people, alright, because you have revelation. God will never allow you to do some things by yourself until you meet those certain people because they've not offended God. The only problem is that they don't know what you know. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. So he will make sure that your path cross with those people. Now some of you may be very surprised that I'm telling you for the first time that I've met certain people, especially somebody, and I've opted for the place of a gardener before. Yes, not because I needed money. I just went to cut flowers and clean the environment. And I just did it. Because I was moved to serve. It doesn't look honorable. I'm being 100% honors before God and men. I think I understand the word better than that person. But I was led to go and do that. Are you listening to me? Very important. Why so? It has to be like that. In our world. As Christians. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Paul has so much revelation than even Peter. Yet he went to Peter 3 days and night to convince Peter about his belief. 3 days and nights, the Bible said. To convince Peter about his belief. Why? Because Peter was ahead. God honors what? Leadership. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? One thing again you should know. I told you about the power of laying hands. You should understand that God honors leadership. Very important. Before the children of Israel would leave, he told Moses and Aaron, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He didn't say, carry my people and start running. Look at, even though Pharaoh was not there by God, he's not a leader because of God. God still sent Moses and Aaron to go and meet him and tell him, take permission, let's say the way it is. Allow God's people. God said we should tell you to allow his people to go. God even respected the guy. You know, remember the words of Jesus. He said the Pharisees may be ignorant, but because of they sit on the seat of what? Moses. He said, respect them. See how God sees honor. He's not saying preach what they are preaching. He just says respect them. So I wouldn't preach what you are preaching, but if you are a father of faith, I must what? Respect you as a father. I think this is the missing link for we who claim to be the new creation realities folks and people who don't have this revelation. We always, that place, that missing link is honor. We don't understand the place of honor. So revelation sometimes can get you poofed up. That's why sometimes you see the best of us with all the things we are saying. You know, the best of us, a lot of times you see them ending in fornication and the rest. Because they begin to talk down fathers, they begin to talk down prayer. These core values. You are talking down fathers, you are talking down prayer. How can you survive as a Christian when you don't pray? See, prayer is something that you should just suffer. See, drink that cup already. If you can't imagine yourself praying, just start crying for God to help you to be a praying person. You must pray as a Christian to survive as a Christian. If force yourself, if prayer is like a friend to you, that's the only friend you should beg to become your friend. You can't do without prayer. But because prayer is the only way we labor, one of the ways we labor, the Bible said we can labor in the word, searching the word. And what? Prayer. People find it difficult to pray. And you know one funny thing I found out? People who love to pray find it difficult to labor in the word. I found out something. That people who pray, who seem like they have the spirit of prayer, they don't like to really sit down and search the scriptures. They feel like what Paul meant in, I think I should get that scripture for you. It has been misunderstood for years now. It's 1 Corinthians, I think, 4, if I'm not mistaken. 1 Corinthians, I think, 4. Let me look for it. First Corinthians 2 and 4. So we'll read together. Thank you. And my speech and my preaching were not with what? Persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, look at the next part of scripture so that you understand. That your faith should not be what? In the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. You see that? So Paul is like, what I'm preaching to you is a demonstration of the Spirit. In other words, this revelation is not a function of flesh and blood. Remember when Peter said you are the Christus, what did Jesus say? Flesh and blood does not have the capacity to reveal this to you, but my Father. Right? The Lord is that Spirit. My Father who is Spirit. He's the one that showed you this. So Paul is like, this preaching is not a function of human logic. It's a demonstration of the Spirit in that the Holy Spirit is the one that has inspired me to be saying what I'm saying right now. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? The verse 5 affirms it. It says, so that your faith is not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Now, the gospel is the power of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Now, of course, the miracles and signs and wonders, they will accompany the preaching of the gospel. But what Paul meant for here, if you look at the context, is as regards the word of God, preaching. He's saying that if I preach logical reasonings, even though they sound so fine and nice, if you are hinged or your faith is anchored upon it, you can't stand too long doing the right thing. The prayers of life will weigh you down. But if it's the true word of God, you can be able to stand the test of time. When hard times come, when difficult times come, you keep on standing because your faith is anchored on the rock. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. So to Paul, what is more important for Paul was sound doctrine. Because no matter how you pray and fast, if your doctrine is wrong, you are still standing on sinking sand. Now, it doesn't matter what you put on a foundation. If the foundation is not right, the building will sink. When difficult time comes, a moment. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Praying is how we'll build our most holy faith. The foundation of our faith is Christ, the chief cornerstone. So if the revelation of Jesus is wrong, it doesn't matter how long you pray. You will not be able to represent God effectively. So Satan lures people because a lot of times it is difficult to pray, is the truth. Even the disciples found it difficult to pray. Jesus said, you can't even tarry with me for just an hour. They found it difficult to pray. Of course, they prayed better with time when Jesus left. But at the initial point, they were finding it difficult to pray. And so when people begin to pray, Satan begins to make some of them proud because they can pray long. I told you my story. When we were growing up, we had this little pride because we could pray. I had brothers who can pray hours. We can stay 2 days. In fact, there's a time we went to stay 1 week to pray. I don't know if all of them survived it. A few of us left. But we're praying for 1 week without food. We locked ourselves in the church. That thing made some of us proud. Because when we see people who are talking and they are empty, we just look down. Then we just talk like, yeah, these people are not serious. In fact, I had a friend that would say, this is just a dead cough speaking. There's nothing on the inside. Nothing. No substance. Why? He was still anointed. And truly that guy that was speaking was sounding empty. But he was still proud for talking like that. So those kind of people now, when they look at 1 Corinthians 2:4, there's a way they see it. Look at it again. Verse 4. Instead of getting it now according to context, they will interpret it their own way because of their expectations already. And my speech and my preaching were not with what? Persuasive words of what? Human wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know what they will tell you? Stop talking practicals. Stop talking and what? Practicals. The word of God, the preaching of the gospel is not cho-cho-cho, it's doings. Hear things like that. Stop talking. Show us something. Show walking. And listen carefully. If we limit the gospel to just demonstration of the Spirit, we are in trouble. Because Satan can do that too. And that's why today we find it difficult to know who is fake and who is real. Because as long as somebody can see into your future, not even future, they don't even see future. See your surrounding environment and problem because they don't even know what is in the future. Word of knowledge. I can see you, you have 3 suits. You have 3, and it's not bad, but you see, Satan can use it. I'm just trying to say, word of knowledge can be either from God or the devil. Satan can show that ability. Don't you watch Nigerian movie? The person that is going to look for the services of a babalawo will just enter the babalawo and say, don't talk. This is it, this is it, this is that, this is that. He said, yes, Baba. She's now convinced the guy he's anointed towards darkness to help her. And before you know, you hear something like, the first wife is giving me problem. I want her out. You know, things like that. And etc. The way they taught us in Nollywood. And sometimes we write at the end that this is as a resultant effect of a true life story. It's a true life story. Like I was talking to an Igbo friend yesterday. I said, nobody drags land like your tribe. He said, it's a lie. Every tribe used to drag land. I said, but Nollywood showed us that you people drag land onto death. That means you can drag one piece of land and finish an entire generation. He said, how did you know? I said, Nollywood. He started laughing. He said, these Nollywood people are just giving us bad name. I said, but it is at the end, you still hear it is made, movie producer made by Chief Emeka Chibuzo. So it's you people that are producing the movie. Now, it paints a picture that they love land. It's the truth. I knew that they used to drag land from Nollywood. Where do you know that from? It's Nollywood. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Amen. Amen. Very important. So most of the time they think it's manifestation. But babalawos can do that too. They can do it. What if you are caught up in the realm of the spirit and you see somebody that looks like Jesus but he's saying something like Satan? How you know? You know, most of you have expectation about Jesus. Long hair, beard, fair. But should I tell you something? That person we have been snapping as Jesus is a human being? Do you know when he became born again, when he was acting the movie? He has come out severally to tell us that he is not Jesus. That the way they describe him, they felt like he's the best person that fits the... And that's why I can't come and put Jesus' picture here, because I've not seen it. But I know he's one with his word. And because I know the word of the Lord, if I am caught up with Jesus in the realm of the spirit, I can tell this is Jesus because of I've been reading about him. He will not say something outside his word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You can't see Jesus and he will tell you to go and make sacrifice in River Benue. Hello, courage. Blessed courage is ascending. And Jesus appears to him, the Jesus he knows. And of course, there's great wind blowing his hair. And Jesus' hair is blowing towards the back. And because that demon has noticed how people say Jesus behave in the encounter, he may want to take... I believe some people have seen Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But maybe he will learn, as what we call... recently there are jobs that you train AIs. We call them train vectors. We call it train vectors. When you train AI to behave in a certain way. I was telling my wife one time, I said, this AI softwares, a lot of times, they are, I don't want to say criminals, but they are very wise people. Have you been using AI before and they say, do you think this should be like this and that? You say, yes. They will now ask you another question. You will now make a statement. They will say, true. That is why this. Do you know they are learning from you also? The next person that asks that question, all your answers and the one you made them to understand, they will give the person as the answer. You are making them more wicked as you use them. Not wicked unto death. Wicked for use. Hallelujah to Jesus. So for instance, now, where was I? Some of you are talking here, so let me know that you are following me. What was I trying to say before I came to AI? Okay, courage. So, courage now is speaking. The demon has learned from how people talk about, you know, their encounters with Jesus. So he now begins to smile at courage. And courage, you remember, they say he smiled. And now I say, my son, courage. Let's say for a moment, courage will say, yes, daddy, speak to me, sir. Your son listening it. Say, go to River Benue. Catch 5 catfish. Cut them. Drink the blood. And I'll make you a mighty man to the nations. That nobody can be able to stop you. This man had an encounter. If we should leave everything at encounter level, we are finished. Because no matter anybody that comes to courage, did courage not have an encounter? He did. Courage, why are you catching fish, sir? Leave me. I met God himself. You all are in a mistake. I know how this God behaves. We need fishes. No wonder 5 fishes. Sorry, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. No wonder 2 fishes. Can't you see the prophetic connection? On the strength of the blood, we multiply 5,000. And maybe I'm telling courage. Of course, that can't happen here. Let's imagine his pastor, that would have been any other person, would have been saying, hey, what is wrong with you? You say, master, I had what? An encounter. Some of these religions you have today, demons spoke to the people that started it. They had an encounter. That's why nobody could stop them. But look at their followers today. Everybody is against Christians, whether you like it or not. We're in a war. All other gods trying to stop, while they've been stopped, they're trying to stop God's people. And they can, because if Jesus stopped them years ago, we can stop them today. Are you all here tonight? So fan it to flames. Whatever is on your inside, what? Have time to pray. Have time to meditate on God's word. Very important. Now, another thing I'll use to explain what I just read is 1 Corinthians 1:17. And this one may cause a little trouble, but you should bear and just listen. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So here is Paul the Apostle saying, God Almighty did not send him to baptize. Because there was an argument about baptism. Get me, Chet. Let me talk to you people very well. I want you to understand me very well, right? There was an argument about baptism. No, no, you can leave those ones. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He said, for Christ did not send me to what? Baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Whoosh! What is Paul saying? And should, in case you may want to argue, because you may go and check and say, ah, but Paul baptized, that's 14 and 15. Let's see it very fast, verse 14. He then said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except what? Crispus and what? Gaius. First, he's thanking God he baptized not so much many people, but just two people. And now he's saying, verse 15, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Now, there was an argument. Who baptized you? You know, John the Baptist had followers on the strength of baptism. And anybody that baptized you, you become his follower. So Paul was like, well, I haven't thanked God I baptized just two people. But I'm going to change the strategy, because that's not actually the right strategy. Next part of Scripture 16. It says, yes, I also baptized the household of what? Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other person. Now, so him too, he started with baptism. Verse 17. He said, but Christ, for Christ did not send me to what? Baptize. But to what? Preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ should be made. In other words, he now understands that when he keeps on putting people in water, then he's making the Christ of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, redundant. But he had practiced it before. I want to raise mature Christians. Listen to me. You see, even fathers of faith in the Bible made mistakes and were corrected almost immediately. Now, don't get me wrong. Just listen carefully. Peter is the head of the church, isn't it? Peter was eating with the Gentiles, isn't it? When he saw the Jews approaching, what did he do? He stood up and ran away, isn't it? Paul comes and corrects Peter publicly. Now, was that a mistake that Peter made? Huh? It was truly a mistake. Did Paul correct Peter? That's how we knew that was a mistake. Now, does that stop Peter from being the head of the church? No. But did Peter make a mistake? Yes. Now, this proves that it is possible that certain practices the early disciples, the 12, had in their early days of ministry could have been wrong. And here is Paul with the argument. Paul started baptizing. At some point, Paul said, I wouldn't do that again. Else the cross of Jesus is of no effect. Now, this is what Paul is trying to say. If you look at Hebrews 9 and 8, let's read it together. Hebrews 9 and 8. You know, I have to sit down because people may have a problem with what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the word. As long as the first order was still standing, it was an indication that the way to the holiest of all was not yet revealed. But when Jesus said it was finished, what happened? The way to the holiest of all, was, that curtain was torn into two, and men had access to the holiest of all. Because right now he has destroyed the old temple and he's bringing about the coming of the new temple, which is his new body when he resurrects, isn't it? Are you guys understanding me tonight? But as long as we have all of these old practices and old temple in place, it was an indication that the way to the holiest of all was not known yet. So in other words, if you are baptizing with water today, because the Bible explains how that several washings and etc. was practices in the Old Testament. And John the Baptist is the last prophet of the Old Testament. Of course, we know the reason for his baptism with water. John 1:31. Let's read it together. Then we'll come back to verse 10 of Hebrews 9. John 1:31. Very, very fast. I did not know him, but that he should be what? Revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. So why was he baptizing with water? So that Jesus be revealed to what? Israel. It's not supposed to be a ritual in Christianity. Now, I was speaking with AI one time because of the many materials that are online. So AI was in the middle. AI said, even though what was we are saying is true. This is the words of AI. Even though what you are saying is true. Now, don't think AI is one robot somewhere. Say it was talking to a robot. No. AI gathers all the information. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it's talking to you based on the information it had already in the database. So AI said, even though what you are saying is true, more people are in the, this school of thought is divided into two. Some people think we need the water, some people think we don't. And I say, why do people still practice it? AI answered, in fact, the people who are under grace that practice this feel like it is a way of just initiating people to becoming Christian. It's not really a practice. I said, but it's still a practice. He said, actually, you are right. How do we stop it? So, how do you think you should stop? Sorry. So I stopped there because I don't know what AI is saying now. Which one is, how do you think you should stop? He said, based on all your perspective, you are right. So how do you think we should stop? Suggest. I really don't know how you think you should stop. But the Lord told me last night while I was praying, he said, criticizing the wrong things will not get the right things in place. He said, don't just criticize the wrong things. Submit yourself to the right things so much so that you become a manifestation of your beliefs. That way you become the blueprint for how life should be. This is what I'm trying to say. Don't just criticize the wrong beliefs. Submit yourself to the word of God so much, the truth of God's word, so that when they see that you are a reality of what you are saying, they may be convinced into truth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Not just condemning. And of course, this is not a call to go and condemn anybody who practices that yet. Because as I'm talking to you, I was actually dipped in a river years ago also. In fact, I disturbed that pastor to do it. He got tired. I had to pay his transport that day to get baptized physically. Because I told him I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost, but I still need this water baptism to fulfill this ritual. I don't think I'm a full Christian yet. And he came and I got into the water and I came out. And that was it. Until the Lord started opening my eyes. I said, then what? I said, I got into the water. He said, then what? Did you see the essence of baptism? 31 of John 1. It is to reveal Jesus to Israel. And now that he's revealed to Israel, then what? In the book of Galatians, the Bible said, Christ is the end of the law. He's a real essence. If anybody be in water, is a new creation. Huh? If anybody be where? So all of those things were pointing to Christ. Now that Christ has come, don't dip anybody in water. Now that Christ has come, John the Baptist was contradicting himself for a moment. But I told somebody, not necessarily contradicting himself, because the Bible says he was trying to look for Jesus and reveal him to Israel through water baptism. So when he said, behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, he was not necessarily really contradicting himself, because he knew that his practice was to reveal Jesus to what? Israel. He was trying to look for Jesus, and when he saw him, he announced him. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the Holy Ghost, you know, of course the Holy Ghost, God told him they are God. He said, he that you see the Spirit come upon and what? Remain. He's the one. And when he poured, so all this why he was looking for Jesus. Hey, you may look like Jesus. Come into water. No, oh, he's not the one. Get out. Oh, come in. He's not the one. Get out. Come, he's not the one. So he was just looking for Jesus. And for this wonderful human being, he just saw him from afar. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And when he got into water, God affirmed it. The Spirit came upon him and what? Remained. In form of a dove, not as dove. Are we together? I've been saying this for several years. The Spirit of God is not dove. He came in form. The people that saw it say he came in a form that looked like a dove. But he is not dove. Meaning the form was close, you know. If you look at it, you can sketch it and say it looks like a dove. Alright? I can say your head looks like beans. Alright? Most ladies have beans looking head. So I can say your head looks like beans. Have you seen when a lady cuts her hair fully? Truly the glory of a woman is in her covering. If you see women when they cut their hair, Kai, you know men are wonderful and good looking people. Of course, this is not an argument that men are finer than women. It's not an argument because we don't do makeup. We don't do any any, we don't make anything up, we don't do anything, we just come the way we are, and we're killing it. Isn't it? In form of a dove, not as dove. Because you know that misunderstanding of scripture will make some people to start looking for doves. There are certain churches you go to, they will tell you, bring five doves. Bring so. Now that's a problem. Am I trying to condemn church? No. But they misunderstood the word. And if we continue like this, we will never be able to bring what needs to be brought down, the kingdom. God will not want such a people to represent him with that kind of funny mentality. That's why we have a lot of atheists. Because we cannot prove God to them. And for some of us who are claiming we have proved God to atheists, we have misrepresented God. So they are like, this God, I don't like him. But that's not the God that it is. There is a God. But what these people are presenting is a wrong identity of God. Not the God that it is. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. You are an unbeliever and you see somebody saying, bring five doves. My God will change the things around. Which kind of God? It's not better I am where I am in my village. There's no difference between you and the Babalawa in our village. Because his own is chicken. And your own is dove. So what's the difference? Anytime you want to pray for people, you look for water. You look for oil. You look for... It's just a near escape. This is like near-death experience. You just nearly escape Babalawism. It's a near escape. Join salt and water. For what? That's unhealthy for your body. Do you know that? Why drinking salt plus water? Sodium chloride in just water. It's bad for your health. But people take it as holy water. And the Bible says you're as holy as Jesus. Say amen. Now, when you preach these things, there's problem. But you see, if we don't steer this problem, there will never be a new day for the church and on the earth. Because we are the light. We are the light. If the standard is wrong right here, we cannot represent God to the world rightly. And the world will not be changed. There's something that the world cannot reject. That's Jesus. And if Jesus is properly presented to the world, they cannot say no to him. You see? And that's why some sort of God will want to initiate trouble. Like he initiated in the book of Acts. It was Paul, God that inspired Paul to come and start causing trouble with the baptism saga. Paul came and said, well, I'm not baptizing anybody. Well, he would now gather people and say, you don't need baptism. But the 12 were there. And Paul was telling them, you don't need baptism. Does that look like the body of Christ dividing? Yes. But if a new day must come, it is not by we being quiet and saying, well, we're just being humble, we don't need to argue. You are a coward. Because what is happening will serve generations and generations, and God will keep on being misrepresented. You have to speak and say, that's not how it is, as inspired by the Holy Ghost. And if it's really the Holy Spirit, you do it in love. And by love, I don't mean with timidity. You do it with respect. Meaning when you say correct those things that are wrong, you don't insult the people who are saying it is wrong. You can say, that idiot preacher who said this, you can never say things like that. You probably will correct without what? Insulting. So why I brought this scripture, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, is so that you understand that even in the church, there was argument on baptism. In the early church, there was argument on baptism. In the book of Acts. And of course, we all know from our intelligence that Paul has superior understanding than the 12. You know, Paul is such a wonderful person. He didn't just know that he had. He even said it. He said, I'm the greatest of all. He now said, not I, but the grace of God at work in me. Sounds proud for a moment, isn't it? But he said it. He knew. Apostle Peter said, the writings of our dear brother Paul is the great wisdom of God. But he said something. He said, it is quite difficult to understand. But it is the truth. He said, don't misunderstand it, else it will destroy you. In other words, Paul's writing is so wonderful and very deep that if you don't pay close attention, you will misunderstand Paul. That's why we have some of the people Peter was talking about are in our time today. Whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. They got it from Romans 5 and Romans 6. Where there is sin, grace abides. You see? They've misunderstood Paul. That is exactly what Peter, the head of the church, said. He said, don't misunderstand Paul. But it is the wisdom of God. But that's not the interpretation actually. Paul said, wherever there is sin, the grace of God abides even more. Like the prodigal father and the father of the prodigal son. I always say prodigal father and prodigal son. So that you get to understand. Isn't it? When the son was coming, before he confessed anything, what did the father do? He hugged him. Is it to the end that the sin continues? No. He said, wear on him what? A white robe of righteousness. Change his identity. Or make him to come back to the place of his identity, because he was never actually removed from sonship. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He left the father. And immediately the father said, kill the biggest cow for him. Let's squander the biggest investment in this house for him. In a day. Somebody say in a day. Sins forgiven, in a day. Righteousness given, same day. The biggest blessing given, same day. You know, some of you, the reason why you will not touch the blessing is because you keep on thinking you are not qualified. Say, I'm qualified. I mean, right here, right now, your sins are forgiven. Right now, right here, you are righteous. Right now, right here, you can receive the biggest blessings in the kingdom right now. I mean, God can decide right now, and is deciding right now, to make sure you interface with the right people that will make you a millionaire in the name of Jesus. It's true. Even though it sounds too good to be true. It's true. In a day, prodigal son, eating with pigs, said to himself, you know, there's a deeper understanding of this thing. And let me try to do it here. Do you know the motive for that prodigal son was actually wrong? It was hunger that made him to come back to God. Not true repentance. He said, he got sense because he was hungry. You know, like some of you, when you left your father's house because they flogged you, or you got disappointed in your father. Anybody has been there before? You say, I'm leaving you people. And you leave after 2 hours. You see that the world is wicked. You go to other people's house. You say, I want to eat. They say, did you buy food in this house? Get out from this place. You now remember you have a house that no matter how they shout for you and flog you, they will still carry food and come and put on your table. You say, that's what happened with the prodigal son. He got his senses back. In another man's house, they say, go and share food with pigs. He now remembered his father's house. His father was so good, or is so good, that even servants, they wear nice clothes. And they eat on wonderful tables. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I said, I'll go back to my father. Even though I am a servant, at least I'll eat good food. He may not want to accept me. I've done so bad. As he was coming close, he didn't know that whatever motive he had, whatever intention he has, the father's love supersedes all of those stuffs. See, it's in God's love that you are changed, not in yourself. I've said that many times in this place. Sometimes you come with your motives, but your motives are not even right. You know, some people will say, create the right motive. Even that right one you have created may not be right. It is only God's love that can change you. Look at the guy's motive. He said, I'll go back. At least I'll be a servant. But look at it. Some of you didn't see that. It was food oriented. His motive. Food. Hunger. All he wanted to do is to come back and at least have food to eat. He was not even aiming back his position back. He felt like the father would not give him. But you see, the proof that he thought of himself to come and end up being a servant. You know, for the fact that he thought of himself that he, when he comes back to the father's house, he will become a servant, means he never knew the father. If he knew the father, he will understand that the father will never make him a servant. That's a problem. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He never knew. Now, as a physical father on the earth, for instance, sometimes when people offend us in church or misbehave and come back, you hear them saying things, and I'll be asking them, how? How would you reason such a thing? Sir, I thought if I come to your office, you'll be mad at me. Mad at you for what? You people give yourself too much credit sometimes. I saw the day you were born again. I saw how you are growing. You don't think I'll be mad at you. I didn't see you anywhere before. I just saw you as a baby Christian. So some sort of, I'm even expecting some of your foolishness to find expression. Even though I don't pray for it, but I'm prepared for it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't pray for it. That's what happened. That the guy felt like the father was completely disappointed. And when he came, the father, before he did any confession, because you see, sometimes sin consciousness helps us, you know, create religious systems. Causes us to create religious systems. So sin consciousness is the reason why we have it some days for confession, for instance. And God did not honor that, because when he was about to say, "Bless me, Father, for I have the Father now hugged him." Thank you, Jesus. Now, are you understanding what I'm trying to say? No condemnation. Please get me. Teaching the word. No out of condemnation for nobody. But it's the truth. He was trying to confess his sin. The Father what? Hugged him. Say no word. You are changed in my love. On the strength of that, take a white regalia. You are righteous. Before he finished thinking of sins forgiven, he was made righteous. Before he finished thinking, he was overwhelmed. I'm righteous? Really? You just brought me back like that? You are not ashamed of me? Before he finished, give him that Lamborghini. I should go let the Lamborghini. If you really understand the Father's love, truly it will cause you to cry a lot of times. And if you don't cry, you don't understand, all you have is a very serious problem. See, Pastor, I understand the Father's love, but when I talk about it, your face is like this. That love is not wicked love. It's good. Are you here tonight? That's how the guy was changed. In a day, sins forgiven. In a day, made righteous. Now your sins are forgiven. They don't believe it. Do you believe your sins are forgiven? You believe that? Do you know it's very difficult to accept forgiveness of sins? Father, I don't deserve it. You deserve it, brother. He's dead. He died for you. Receive it. Lord, I'm not what you are worthy. You've been qualified. Accepted in the beloved. Are you in Christ?
Yes, sir.
You are qualified. Are you in Christ?
Yes, sir.
You are accepted. Are you in Christ?
Yes, sir.
Your sins are forgiven. Are you in Christ?
Yes, sir.
You are righteous. Are you in Christ?
Yes, sir.
You have been qualified to receive all blessings in the heavens and on the earth. So all you need to do is, Mother, come here to me now with this consciousness. You know, you've been calling it without this consciousness. That's why it's not coming. Now call it like somebody that knows he deserves it. He's going to say, Muku, come money. I don't do money. Nothing to come. If you knew who you were, you'd have not been saying that thing. For the fact that you said that, you don't even know who you are. The righteous never talks like that. They are not standing here or here. They are just on one side. They are hot. They are not wavering. Their faith is not wavering. Because they have great certainty in Christ. Paul said, knowing Christ, we speak with such great plainness of speech and boldness. We are very confident. Are you listening? We have all of our eggs in one basket. In Christ Jesus. We know we don't fail here in the will of God. We only succeed in the will of God. I can never fail in the will of God. I can never fail in the will of God. I can never fail in the will of God. You can say, God wants me here, and when life is getting difficult, you buy police form. I got you. Application of the word. No, God wants me to do this, sir. God wants me to pursue this job in NGO, with NGO, so that I can have time to even serve him and the rest. Sir, my family are putting pressure. I've not been able to make up to 150 a month. And it's 3 years now, sir. Okay. So, sir, can I join police? Can I join police? Or can I join civil service commission? If you don't have time now, it's when you join police, you have time to serve God. Except your destiny is there, no problem. But you know you are not supposed to have anything to do with police uniform. You are by form. Anywhere money is, Bele face there. Anywhere. Some of you, when we're growing up, look at our parents. They are wonderful people, but look at them. Anything that has money, my picking go study them. Anything. This is my child. This one will become a general. This one will become a doctor. That one will become a footballer. This one bring 1 million. Yeah, this one bring 5 million. This one bring... you see? Money oriented. They are pushing you for them, their glory. You know, when I was growing up, my father told me I was supposed to do medicine. Yeah, my guys that we started with, some of them are 4 years as doctors now. So we wanted to apply after remedias. He said I should apply on Suka. So I said, but I'll just manage. He said, yes, you are not graduating. They are not graduating. My friend, don't try that. So I put the Nsuka. Nsuka just recognized my presence. And whatever I did not consign them. If I like, I should pass the jam, heaven and earth. It does not consign them. All they gave me was biochemistry. And I did like I did not see the admission too. So I did not even tell him that I had admission. I just hid it. Because I didn't want to study that course. And I'm not saying anybody studying it has a problem. But for me, I didn't want that. I told them if it's not medicine and surgery, I don't want to do anything that is close to it. And I said, I'd rather go and study mathematics. I was very, very serious. So that I'll be mathematicians, my friends. You know, I had some little pride. I was like, if I'm going to study anything, then these stupid boys will be ordering me in the hospital. I know them. And do not take it easy with me. Simon, come here. Go and conduct this test for me now. So for me, it was a little bit of pride. But of course, God helping me, that was not my call. So when I wanted to apply BSU, my dad said, no, I still insist, they don't graduate. I said, so where should I apply? He said, apply UniAgric. I said, what course? He said, civil engineering. I said, I don't like it. I don't want to be on site telling people what to buy, blah, blah, blah. I don't see myself. I can't picture myself. He said, you must do it. What will you get if you do so course and so course? So I now knew it was money. So I asked him over the phone. You know, he was not close, so I could express myself. I said, so you want to use me to get money? It's where there's money you are pushing me to go, not where God wants me to go. He said, my friend, are you asking your father that question? You have been disowned. So my mother called me and said, they've disowned you again. For every time I ask my father a question, he gets to disown me. I've escaped over three. You know, when I wanted to do ministry, one time the Lord led me to go and preach somewhere. They invited me in Kaduna. I was going to preach from campus. He said, where are you going to? I said, I'm going to preach. They invited me somewhere in Kaduna. He said, what? My friend, stop there and come back home. I said, the Lord led me there. The Lord told me to go and preach. He said, wait, God, my friend, come back home. Don't pass Kaduna Road. Don't enter Kaduna. Don't enter Kaduna. I said, I'm very close to my venue. We'll talk later, Daddy. I have to preach now. My mother called me later. Why are you making your father disown you every time? My father is such a wonderful person. Finally, he called me. We're at Festac, one of the Festac in Lagos. We sat down somewhere. He said, son, why do you like this pastor work very well? I said, God told me to be a pastor. He said, well, I called you here to permit you to go and become a pastor. Finally, he permitted me. But there was a little... That's why I'm promising you that finally you will win. You will win that war. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? He said, when I set another fire upon the face of the earth, parents will rise against their children, children against their father. At the initial, they will disagree. Your father wants you to go outside, go to UK. You are saying, the Lord wants me to be in Nigeria and study medicine and work here for 5 years. You think your father have that patience? 5 years, then I'll now go to another country. But 5 years, the Lord said I should be here. And you are telling your father, the Spirit said. He's like, which Spirit? The only thing your father knows how to do is to say his prayer religiously. He does not know what that Spirit speaks to people. He's telling you, my friend, if you joke with me, I will pluck off your head. Now there's war. What will you do at that point? Not fight, oh. Like somebody that told me, sir, I want to leave the house. I say, to which person's house? You want to leave your house to my house so that your father will come and find you in my house? You want me and your father to exchange blow? Because if you blow me on my neck, I'll try to cover my face. I told her, I said, stay in your house. Bear it. Imagine your father comes to look for you, tell police that you are missing, and they find you in my house. They will arrest your pastor. Do you know I almost entered prison in this church? They called me in police station. One of our members was even arrested in police station. What was the problem? The man does not want the children to be coming to church. He went and asked them. He did visitation. We have not been seeing you in church. What is happening? I think it's Pastor Phil. And when he went there, he entered prison. So I had to appear. And when I came, they even didn't mind. They said, even him, this is one too, you can put him inside. Of course, nobody can put me inside. So I said, what is the problem? The police officer said, this is it. They say, the man say, blah, 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 blah. Do you know the funniest part of this story? The two girls, they now ask them finally, will you want to stop going to that church? They say, no. Uh-uh. Do you want to be going to the church? They say, yes. The DPO now looked at the father and say, he said, you see, children have their rights. Now, if you try to stop your children, I think he said something like, if you try to stop your children, you are the one going against the law. They say they want to be going to the church. It's their choice. I did not say anything. We just left with our soul that we went to carry there. That's Pastor. I just carried him and I left. I said, that one is family problem. They can solve their problem. But you see, it's so funny that the children told the police and everybody that they want to be coming to church. It's so funny, but we have situations like that. Are you listening to me? You are interfaced with truth. You want to follow truth. There's a problem. I know we refuse, blah, blah, blah. What will you do at that time? Pray. Tell somebody, pray.
Pray.
Like this rising star now. God forbid one day now the father say, I don't want you to go to that church again. And he has discovered that this is where he's not. See, now he sank. He was feeling like he was in a stadium. I was looking at him. It was just going plus one, plus one. You know, he just felt like the whole world are looking at him. They will look at you one day. And the father said, don't go. He now remembers that, I need to be there. I'm the one singing today. Do you know it will not be easy for him? This one, God wants to bless us with rain like this. If we close, how will you go home? Oh, you don't mind, you find a way around it. All things work together for good. Please, if the rain stops, let us know. Hallelujah to Jesus. This rain that is breaking chairs, you want to enter? Technical, we are good. All right. Richard, have you finished sleeping? You not sleep? Okay. Latifa, welcome. You slept in the first service, eh? You know, some people, when they sleep, you will not be pitying themselves. Like in the first service, Latifa was sleeping, and I said, let me just leave her to enjoy herself for a while. It's okay. Let's try to round up so that some people who can enter the rain can go. So do you understand where I'm coming from? I did not remove anything from the Bible. I'm just trying to show you that you can see the Bible from a theoretical frame point. You can be, you know, see it from a very matured angle. For instance, if I say Peter made a mistake here, I'm not stating that this thing that Peter said by the Spirit, I'm trying to alter. No. Not like that apostle that say Paul made a mistake. That's not what I'm trying to say. The mistake was actually acknowledged by another man of God in the Bible. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. And who was that other man of God? Paul. But a mistake that is not acknowledged, I cannot come and be creating problem. Imagine I say Peter made a mistake. There's no proof. Then I'm saying rubbish. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So that now, if you see it like this, you'll not be doing that funny argument. Some people will be like, Pastor, you say no baptism, but only the disciples of Jesus baptized. Jesus did not baptize, and he was watching them. Why did he watch them and not do it? You too, why did he watch them and not do it? Okay, Pastor, Paul spoke against baptism, but why did he do it 3 times? Maybe you read the Bible, he said he did it 3 times, but he stopped. You, did you not use anointing oil and stop? Did you not use holy water and stop? Should we condemn you for the times you have used it? Even you, Donald, you have used holy water before. You've used anointing oil. Who have used holy water here, for instance? Raise your hands. Wave your hand. As intelligent as you are, you used it. Does it mean you are a dull person? Does it mean you are a useless person? But you thought it was okay. Religiously, you know, religion can make you just leave your mind, engage your mind, and start practicing funny stuff. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you getting blessed tonight? So if your faith, if baptism is being practiced, your faith will now be on external factors instead of the real stuffs. If your faith is hinged on the reason why I'm a new man is because I got into water, I came out, there's a problem. It should be because you now know Christ. And if anybody be in, is a word? Simple. That's why you can get into water and come out and sin again and get into it. But if you are into Christ, that's all. Pastor, but I'm into Christ and I've messed up a few times. Maybe you don't understand Christ. He then said, if you know me or have seen me, you can know what? Continue in your sin. To know Christ is to understand him. So I have Jesus. The proof you have Jesus is that you understand him. You don't have what you don't understand. Are we together? And that's why every day we are excavating in church. That's why you don't miss church. That's why sometimes I feel like teaching you this way. It's a Sunday, but see, I'm teaching you. I feel like it's Tuesday. Because I want you to what? Understand me. Sometimes we sit down, we think Christians know the word of God. You hear them saying certain things. I always said I was going to start a series called Soteria Plus. So that we'll teach people salvation through the Old Testament and the New Testament. How it works. I think I've done Soteria, right? So I'll call it Soteria Plus. And get a special note for this series. Learn salvation through the Old Testament to the New Testament. Are you listening to me? This way you become strong Christians. Not Christians who are in church talking against church. Christians who are in church and they are loving Christ. Not Christians who are in church and they are visiting a man or a woman. You know why you are in church and you feel like visiting a man? Because you are not engaging the world. So your body could do you one kind. If you like, laugh. If you like, pretend. I don't care. I'm teaching you the word. You know, sometimes people say, Pastor, that kind of thing should not be happening in your assembly. It's God's assembly first before it is my assembly. Don't put it so much on my head. Put it so much more on God's head. It is God's sheep. No, you are a son of Prophet Samuel. You cannot do that. You are a son of God first. You should not do that. So if you think I should take the shame, let God start taking the shame first. So I don't know why you don't want us to preach certain kind of things. It is very possible that you are sitting in this church now looking at me kuro like this. And you are the one that will call the man and say, can I come to your house? It is very possible. After saying, I've been bought with a price. Confession now, water. You will talk. Only a mental center. It is very possible. Because the word is in your head, not in your heart. You don't meditate. When you go back home, you do a lot of things. You pursue your money, you pursue your career, you pursue Netflix, you pursue amebo, gist. You don't have time to sit with the word. Jesus told Martha, I say, come and sit down, Martha. I know I'm hungry, but sit down first. One thing is most important right now. Don't be trying to do something for me. Understand me. Else what you are doing for me is useless. Understand me first. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In fact, Paul said, perfect the saints before they do the work of the ministry. We should not be more interested in people doing the work of the ministry than they getting perfected. HODs have to learn this. Leaders have to understand this. That's why I said, always make sure your people interface with the word of God every time. See, it is not what the advice you are telling them that will get them standing. People don't win in life or succeed in life or overcome the devil by advice. See, sin no good. Oh. If you sin, you go get bele. Oh. Some people go and gladly get the bele. I tell you the truth. It is the word of God. It says so that your faith is not hinged on the wisdom of men, but on what? The power of God. You teach the gospel and allow God to do his work by himself. You can't do the work of God for him. When you teach the gospel, you release God's power in display. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God. You can't be advising me. Teach the gospel. There may be counseling sessions. Especially you talk to people. But a lot of times, don't stand here on a Sunday morning and be advising people. You should be teaching the gospel. Except that your advice is a function of the word. Because the gospel is the power. What a blessed Sunday. Fresh air. Fresh word. Fresh. No. I give God the praise. Now, are you here tonight?
Yes, sir.
You know this woman? She admires me too much. See, for instance, I'm passing. She just, God, Father, you know, she told me one time, I say, anytime I see you do this, I'll be like, Father, how did I get here? I thank you. I don't deserve it. I mean, well, we give God praise. Amen. Well, I'm just joking. There are some people that will go and say that, hey, it was even, well, we're joking, right? But you say, Pastor was even, you know, some people take life too serious, even than the Holy Ghost. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? The Holy Spirit comes where people are doing like this. It doesn't come where people are doing like this. That's why when people are like this, when the Holy Ghost came, they say, oh, hell! They'll be like this. Turn, take those dance. It'll work. He likes liberty. You can't be claiming seriousness for God.
Yes, sir.
And some people, the Holy Ghost will come and say, can I share this revelation with you? They'll be like, shh. Where are you ascending to? I'm here. You know, some people think it's quite difficult to get revelations. It is quite difficult to be anointed. It is not difficult. Pray, you'll be anointed. Understand the word. If you stay with the word, you understand the word. Just stay with it. For instance, you want to know chemistry without reading chemistry book. Just carry the word of God. Look at it. Holy Spirit, help me understand. If you need some root words to understand it, he will steer you to get a concordance Bible. Do you know nobody spoke to me about the concordance Bible? I started asking myself, there should be something that is here that is missing. When I listened to a preacher one time, and I heard the root word. I said, eh, there are root words. That's how I went and bought a physical concordance Bible. I bought one only for Hebrew, over 6,000 those days. I gathered my money, I bought that. Somebody asked me, what do you want for birthday? I said, the complete concordance Bible for Greek. They bought me that. I downloaded, I paid, was it over 5,000 I paid to download that Bible online? You know, I spent more than 50,000 to get my concordance at that level. 50,000 was big money. I knew it was important I have these materials. Then I started understanding the word. I started praying. I found out when I pray for people, they get healed. I found out when I stand to speak, God brings revelation so much. It's like an endless well of revelation. I found out when I start teaching, I don't like to stop. If it's based on me, if it's based on me, it's tomorrow we'll leave this place. But because of you people that don't want to be like the Church of Acts, But because you cannot bear it, I'll have to end the service. But would you mind if we... people are not answering me. Would you mind if we end the service tomorrow? Is anybody tired for Jesus? Because where two or three are gathered, he is there. Say you are tired, let him see you. Are you tired for Jesus? There are some that don't want to answer yes. Or no. You are the one that I say I will spit you out. All right, let's continue. Where was I? Baptism. And I hope you are getting this perspective right about baptism. So that when you are interfaced with some people that will quote all these scriptures, you know how to talk to them. So if you observe now, it's not about in this place they baptized, in this place they did not baptize. You understand the transition here. The earliest days, they did it. The purpose is what? John 1:31. That's the purpose of baptism. What does he read? So that the Messiah is revealed to what? Israel. But coincidentally, the early church practiced it too. Because they felt like it represented what? Repentance from what? Sin. But Christ is supposed to be the end. So verse 10 of Hebrews 9. Concerned only with food. Alright, let's see from verse 9. That the old stuffs were concerned. It was symbolic for the present. What is symbolic? Remember verse 8 spoke about the old tabernacle. That as long as it was standing, it was an indication that the way to the holiest of all was not yet revealed. Right? Alright, so it was symbolic. That's the old tabernacle. Was symbolic for the present time. In which both what? Gifts and what? Sacrifices are offered. Which cannot make him who has performed the service perfect in regard to what? The conscience. But if you read on, the Bible tells us once and for all Jesus entered and it was done. No need for every year, isn't it? Verse 10, it says, whatever practices in the old was concerned only with what? Food and what? Drinks and what? Various washings. Baptism, washing of the leg, washing of the feet, and fleshy what? Ordinances imposed unto the time of what? Reformation. Meaning it's supposed to stop. There's a time it should stop. If you read other renditions, you say when Christ comes. Not coming in this second in our days, which is the second coming. Coming in their time. Because we see Paul's writing, he says Christ is the end of the law. So in the book of Hebrew, he's speaking to these guys so that their transition from practices of Moses to the real substance. Shadows to substance. If you see a shadow casted, you can't tell the details from the shadow from the shadow. But when you see the object, you understand the shadow. So now that Christ has come in the New Testament, we don't concentrate on what? The shadows. Why were we using oil? It was symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Now that the Holy Ghost is in and upon us, oil is everywhere. In us, upon us, everywhere. So much oil that such that when you don't see snake and it beats you, the snake dies and you are still alive. Ask Paul. So much oil. I told you everything God did on the earth, we can use it to learn something about him. Yamgyo, pig. No poison can kill pig. Who created pig? God. He said, you shall trample upon snakes and scorpions. And they shall by no. You see that? If God created pig that way, I mean, you have it more loaded. You are so much anointed that when you trample upon snakes and scorpions, they will not hurt you. Have such expectation. Yes, sir. You know, somebody is arguing, Pastor, they may hurt me. Well, if you want them to hurt you, they will hurt you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know why we argue some things. You mean, as a Christian, if snake bites me, I will not die? Yes, you will not die. It's a lie. You should say these things like this. I will die, John, if it bites me. But you are just arguing. You should be like, if the snake bites me, I go die. So that when they bite you, you truly die. If not, why then argue? Say, if they bite me, I will not die. And some of you don't want to answer. I say, God forbid, they will not even bite me in the first place. Some people did not plan it. Paul did not plan it. The snake what? You know, one time I was teaching somewhere, I said, what if you go back home and a snake is under your bed? See how everybody is looking into my eyes. What if I'm saying the truth? Who has ever seen a snake inside your house before? Did you plan it? Did you put the snake inside? But did you see it? But the snake did not bite all of you, right? Who has been bitten by a snake here before? Nobody. But you saw it. On campus those days, there was this woman. That's why you will pay for partnership, so that we'll go to our venue, isn't it? You have seen the reason. So when we say second collection for building, you will understand. There was a woman on campus those days. She slept on a snake. She has been sleeping on this snake for a long time. So she said anytime she's sleeping, there's a part of her bed that is always cold. So one day she now woke up in the middle of the night. She wanted to see what was always cold because she liked the feeling. She was just my neighbor. They say when God bless your neighbor, it's in the neighborhood. So when we saw that snake in our neighbor's house, we all got scared. We started arranging our things in the house and the rest, removing everything and spraying everywhere. But it was a big black snake. In the middle of the night, she shouted, Jesus! Jesus! And she got herself and ran outside and reported to my uncle. They went inside and they killed the snake that night. God forbid. But if you are not anointed or you don't believe the word of the Lord and that happened to you, you think you'll be alive? So have this expectation that God, I believe you so much that anything you say is true. We did not beg God to not allow snake kill us. He's the one that said it. What is my own business to be in faith? Are you listening to me? Yes, Bishop Idausa said, if your faith says yes, God can never say no. Faith is like a blank check. Feel it and God will help you to cash out. At any level, any area of life, or I can say area here for any bank you choose, you cash out. That check can work for any bank. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you here tonight? Be in faith. In fact, have expectation that if they shoot you gun, it will not enter. Have it. Just have it. They say, why are you saying that? So if they shoot you gun, it no go enter. Now, wait till they try to talk with that. I have not believed that rubbish. Okay, if they shoot you, you go enter. And not really talking like that, sir, but it's the truth. You go enter. Just have faith in God. He said, I can do exceedingly. If Satan can give people a tumopo, and they'll shoot them and they'll say, what? Oh, dear. Some of you like that movie. What's the name?
Sakaba.
Isakaba. If Isakaba can produce people that can say no to bullets, how about God? I finished teaching. Can we celebrate Jesus?
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.